Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Labor Day, Monday, September 6th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. With your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
That's clear, concise, and well presented.
Thanks. I've done it a lot. It's a holiday weekend here in the United Snakes, and despite the fact that so many of you are enjoying a well-deserved break from your labors, I am at my post here in front of this blasted microphone. Besides, I took a break the past couple weeks so that I could work on the redesign of my sites. But more about this in a minute. And of course, I got to catch up on all the questions that have been piling up since our last Q&A session back in early July. But before we get to all of that, a word from our sponsor.
Fairlane. You haven't got the feel of this at all, lad. Use all your voices. When I bellow, bellow back.
I thought you just said I was doing a good job. At any rate, today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time, but that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the newly refurbished DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library banner in the sidebar. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? I'd also like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680. And there's no need to be shy, my friends, because this is voicemail. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts.
Oh, by the way, you're better at this than I thought you'd be.
There you go again. So, before we get to the questions, there are a couple of quick housekeeping concerns that I want to address. The first is the redesign of my two primary websites, DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. If you're picking up this podcast on iTunes or another podcast site and you haven't had the opportunity to see the new sites, you are in for a delightful surprise. The two sites have been redone to within an inch of their lives, don't you know? Both sites mirror one another, at least in terms of presentation and functionality. The old blog format is out, and a brand spanking new magazine format is in. Everything is bright, cheery, clean, and sleek. All of the functions of the old site, site searchability, the links, the categories, the sponsors, and the tags are still there on both the new sites. But the new magazine format allows visitors to quickly scan a thumbnail image and a blurb for each posting without having to scroll through the whole posting to get to the next. There is also a headline posting and a handful of featured postings. There are some other new features too. I decided to use a bunch of icons, a blue heart for the Donate to Dr. Dick, a blue envelope for Ask an Anonymous Sex Question, and a blue telephone icon for the toll-free voicemail hotline. There's also a blue movie projector icon that designates the presence of a video in the posting, and a special announcements are designated by a red and white special announcement icon. Now you can see several weeks of postings by just scrolling down the page. The top navigation has been simplified. You can toggle between the two sites effortlessly. If you are on the advice site, click on Toy Reviews in the header. If you are on the review site, click on Sex Advice with an Edge. It's that simple. Dr. Dick's Stockroom and Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library now have their own banner in the sidebar. I hope you like the new changes, and as always, your thoughts and comments are welcome. A final bit of housekeeping business is a quick announcement from our friend Scott Daddy. You remember Scott from his appearance on my Sex Education podcast series back in February 2009. To listen to that podcast, search my site using the keywords Scott Daddy. So the news is that Scott's original leather-bound podcast is in hiatus for a while, but that doesn't mean he's out of the game. No siree. He is now airing homemade videos of an adult and kinky nature. The first episode, which I've had the pleasure to view, is a 20-minute clip of him working over a cute young guy at a cigar and water sports party at his campground. Can you stand it? I mean, you gotta check this out. It involves fire play, a violet wand, and some cock electrodes and anal electro beads. Holy shit, it's fucking wild. The link is scottdaddyleatherbound.libsyn.com. I'll also include a link in today's podcast posting on my site. Hey, Dr. Dick. What is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number that you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, it's Q&A time.
Well, what should we have? The holly or each other?
You are in a mood. First up is 17-year-old Brennan. He writes, "This is the first time that I've asked a question, and my boyfriend said this is a great place to go. So here goes. I recently went off the antidepressant medicine Lexapro. And what's fantastic about it is that my sex drive has gone way up. The downfall is that since I started that, it's hard for me to get a hard on and to come. Now that I'm off the medication, I can come easier, and everything feels better, and my boyfriend is happy, but it's really hard to get hard and stay hard. My boyfriend says that he doesn't mind when I know he does, and it is really a big hit on my confidence and self-esteem. Here's the kicker. I am a 17-year-old teenage boy. Is this permanent? Will it, in the future, be easier to get hard and stay hard the longer I'm off the medication? I don't know if this is normal or not, but I do remember that before the medication, I had had absolutely no problems. Help. Thank you so much." Well, Brennan, what I can say for certain is that antidepressants, as well as a host of other commonly prescribed medications, can and do have a major impact on a person's sexual response cycle. Let me begin by asking you how familiar you are with the concept of a sexual response cycle. Considering your youth, you may have not heard of it at all. So here's the quick 411 on that. We all have a sexual response cycle. Each person is unique, but everyone's follows a similar pattern of phases. And here they are. Phase 1, the excitement phase. This phase, which can last for a few minutes to several hours, includes the following. Muscle tension increases, heart rate quickens, breathing accelerates, skin may become flushed, nipples may become hardened or erect. Blood flow to the genitals increases, which swells a woman's clitoris, labia minora, and a guy's cock bones up. Vaginal lubrication begins. A woman's breast becomes fuller, and her vaginal walls begin to swell. A man's balls swell, his scrotum tightens, and he begins secreting precum. Phase 2, the plateau. This phase, which extends to the brink of orgasm, includes the following. The changes begun in phase 1 intensify. A woman's vagina continues to swell from increased blood flow, and her vaginal walls turn dark purple. Her clitoris becomes highly sensitive and retracts under her clitoral hood. A guy's nuts further withdraw into his scrotum. Breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure continue to rise. Muscle tension increases. Muscle spasms may begin in one's feet, face, and or hands. Phase 3 is orgasm. This is the climax of the sexual response cycle, and it generally lasts only a few seconds. It includes the following. Involuntary muscle contractions begin. Blood pressure, heart rate, and breathing are at their highest levels with a rapid intake of oxygen. Muscles in the feet spasm. There is a sudden forceful release of sexual tension. A woman's vagina contracts. She may experience rhythmic contractions in her uterus. The muscles at the base of a guy's dick will rhythmically contract, resulting in an ejaculation of his jizz. And a sex flush may appear all over his or her body. Phase 4, resolution. The body slowly returns to its normal level of functioning, and swelled and erect body parts return to their previous size and color. There's a general sense of well-being, enhanced intimacy, and often fatigue. Women are capable of rapidly returning to orgasm phase with further sexual stimulation and can experience multiple orgasms. But us menfolk need recovery time after our orgasm, which is called a refractory period, during which we cannot reach orgasm again. The duration of the refractory period varies among men and changes with age. With that behind us, I can now turn my attention to your specific questions. At any point in this cycle, there can be an interruption or a breakdown. Like I said at the outset, some pharmaceuticals, as well as a lot of over-the-counter remedies, can and do impede our sexual response. You don't mention how long you've been off Lexapro, but I'll wager it's not long enough for it to have completely cleared your system. In that case, a little patience with yourself, and perhaps a sense of humor about the whole thing, will be the best therapy for you. I suspect that you will regain your sexual footing in time. However, a cock ring may help you gain and retain an erection until that happens. Good luck. Next, we hear from Marcus, who's 47 and writes from the Southeast U.S. I am intrigued by nipple suction pumps, but I cannot find much information about their effectiveness on guys. How long do your nipples stay enlarged? Is there any risk or danger in using one of these contraptions? Thanks for any help or direction you can give. Hey, good question, Marcus. For all of you out there who are unfamiliar with nipple play, you may be pleasantly surprised at the erogenous potential of your nipples. Both women and men find having their nipples played with and or sucked a huge turn-on. Nipple clamps and other toys like suction cups and pumps provide you a hands-free means of nipple stimulation while you're getting it on with yourself or a partner. Let's look at each of these toys in turn. First, there are loads of different types of nipple clamps. But they all have one thing in common. The pressure on your nips heightens sensitivity. Even people with unresponsive nipples can increase sensation in their nipples with nipple clamps. You can get clamps that are connected by a chain. Pull on a chain and stimulate both of your nipples or your partner's nipples at once. Some styles of nipple clamps allow you to control the clamp's pressure to match your individual comfort or arousal level. And pressure put on the nipples can be intensified with weights, vibrators, and or tugging. Vibrating nipple clamps give your nipples even more stimulation. Here's a tip. Try using vibrating nipple clamps on your balls. Nipple suction devices, either cups or pumps, work wonders too. In just a few minutes, you can enlarge your nipples to at least twice their size. By making your nipples bigger, you increase the sensitive area, heightening your erotic pleasure. Some folks do this a lot, and they create enormous nipples for themselves. The more one uses one or another of these devices, both in terms of frequency and length of time, the bigger and more exaggerated one's nipples get. One can actually alter the size of one's nipples permanently through the extended use of a suction device. However, most folks are more moderate with their use of nipple pumping. They simply enjoy the erotic experience periodically, and in this case, nipples return to their original size and shape in a matter of hours after a session, and there is no real health-related danger to this play. So to recap, using a gentle suction on your nipples will expand and fully extend them. The enlargement is only temporary, but doing this regularly can result in some semi-permanent enlargement. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680.
How nice for you.
Actually, it's not for me. It's more for my audience, but never mind. Next, we hear from Kimberly. We don't know her age or where she lives. She does, however, have a bunch of questions, so I answered them in the order they were asked. Question: how do I know that the subtle hints my boyfriend is giving me actually means he wants some anal play? This is a really good question for us men folk, particularly the straight variety, find it excruciatingly difficult to come right out and ask for butt play. It's so gay, after all. The reason I'm asking is because he never seems to come out and say it, and won't mention it during our sexual fun, but it seems like he either is open to the idea or has done it in the past, misses the sensations, and wants it again. All of these options are indeed possible. I mean, how does an ostensibly straight guy tell his girlfriend that he wants her to plug him in the ass? Apparently, he's in the same predicament as you. You can't ask, and he can't tell. Hey, that sounds just like the military. Usually, this occurs while we're in the 69 position. He will open his legs up wider, nudge my hands closer toward his ass. And when I touch his anus, he will play with my asshole more vigorously. This would speak volumes to me, but I'm not you. For me, it would be the equivalent of him begging to be diddled in the back door. Now, I know it seems that I should be able to get a friggin' clue here, but I don't want to screw up a really good 69 by misinterpreting his gestures, reactions, by going for it, so to speak. Perhaps he just likes the light touching, grazing, pressure that's not full-on anal play. We 69 quite a bit. It's absolutely fabulous. Amazing. Sorry to get off the track here. If I were you, I'd proceed and give him a little finger or two. You will know almost instantly if you've misread his behavior. If you have, all you have to do is apologize for getting a little carried away. You could say, "Whoa, sorry, I just thought you'd like to feel what I feel when your finger is in my ass." If, however, he doesn't protest, his ass is yours. Enjoy. Like I said, I sense that he's dying for it, and maybe this will open a whole new adventure to your sex play. Wouldn't that be grand? Another option is purchasing a little anal toy for him to try. May I suggest you look at the Aneros products? You can find them at DrDickSexToyReviews.com. Search for Aneros, A-N-E-R-O-S. I've given him head on numerous occasions, and he doesn't have the same urge, for lack of a better word, with regard to anal play as when we are in 69. So here I am asking you, have I asked him directly? No. Okay, I don't blame you. Well, maybe I blame you a little bit. I mean, how sad is it that lovers can't have this kind of conversation? The thing is, your man is probably not man enough to ask for it. This pussyfooting around gives him plausible deniability if he gets embarrassed. And that sucks, and not in a good way. Why don't I ask him? Because the urge appears in the midst of our 69 sessions, not during intercourse, and not when I'm giving him head. It's almost as if it goes with the 69 territory, and not really even acknowledged after the fact, as other aspects of our intimate life are. So I don't know if he's embarrassed by it, doesn't like that he likes it, or what. Based on your response, this will aid me in digging a little deeper, so to speak, or just going with the current flow and or bringing it up in a way that doesn't make him seem like I'm against it or high gear for it, depending on the internal conflict he wants, needs, or desires or is experiencing. Listen. My advice is, if you do indeed dig a little deeper, and it turns out that you and I are right about your man and his hole, great! But you oughtn't let it end there. You need to talk about this some. You could help him jettison whatever it is that keeps him from being honest and forthright about what he wants and needs. Good luck. Next, we hear from Ali, who is 28 and writes from Kuwait. I'd like to know if there is a chance to increase my dick size 2 inches, and how do I do it if there's a chance? Thanks. Ali, normally I wouldn't respond to yet another question about how one might grow his dick bigger. I've already dedicated enough ink and airtime to this regrettable topic to last a lifetime. If you want the 411 on cock enlargement techniques of all types, all you have to do is go to the categories section on drdicksexadvice.com and look for topics like cock size, cock shape, and jelking. This pretty much sums up everything I have to say on the subject. But for your benefit, I will summarize here. Our dick size is determined by genetics, like our skin color, hair color, stature, and the like. Permanent male enhancement by any means short of surgery is a fiction. And surgery is an exceptionally risky procedure, oftentimes only making matters worse. In other words, you're more likely to add an inch to your height or grow yourself a full head of hair than you are to permanently add an inch to the size of your dick. Good luck. Next, Jade. She's a female, 35, writes from London. Why do I get hot and clammy before I have sex? My partner only has to be next to me and whoosh! My body just gets so hot. Is this normal? Is anticipation of sex the only time you get hot and clammy, Jade? If so, you may be experiencing something called anxiety sweating, or what is commonly known as flop sweat. It's not a particularly uncommon phenomenon, but if you want to read more about it, do an internet search using the keywords anxiety sweating. Next, we hear from Luke, who is 49 and writes from Wyoming. My wife and I have been married for 15 years. About a year ago, we started experimenting with over-the-counter penis extenders, the type that can be purchased at adult bookstores or through the mail-order catalogs. These extenders roll on the penis in a similar manner as a condom, and they add 1 to 3 inches to the length. I used the 3-inch extender and increase the girth. The two that we primarily use are either made of cyber skin or silicon, so they are relatively soft. I always roll a condom over the extender and my penis prior to intercourse. I should note here that my wife's ex-husband was very well endowed, much larger than I am. We don't use the extenders all the time, usually only 2 or 3 times a month. My wife's sexual passion seems to reach new heights during lovemaking sessions where I am wearing one of the penis extenders. During these sessions, she gets into it so much, and it's so intense that I hardly recognize her. She sometimes has a vaginal orgasm during these sessions, something that never happens when I'm not wearing the penis extenders. As a result, things can get a little rambunctious during these sessions. She admits that sometimes she feels some pain during these sessions, but to be honest, I think she enjoys the sensations. Also, I feel much more intimate and emotionally close to my wife during these extender sessions, probably because she's so into it. My questions are these. Number 1, is this a healthy practice? Number 2, will my wife continue to enjoy my smaller penis? And 3, could this cause any problems with my wife's female anatomy? Thanks. Hey, Luke. Thanks for your message and your questions. What an interesting story you tell. First, congratulations on being so creative. Lesser men would let their pride and ego get in the way of using an extender. I also want to turn your attention to another creative solution that you guys might find as much fun, or even more so, than the extenders. Did you happen to see the product reviews I posted a couple of weeks ago? Of particular interest is the Ultra Harness 2000 for men. It's a strap-on for men, don't you know? The full review can be found by looking for Ultra Harness 2000 for men on drdicksextoyreviews.com. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts after you take a look-see. As to your questions, number 1, is this a healthy practice? Yep, I see no problem with it at all. Using a condom as you are is also a really good idea. Congratulations for thinking of that. Number 2, will my wife continue to enjoy my smaller penis? I'm probably not the one you should ask about that. Why not ask her? In the end, most women have a real soft spot in their heart for the real thing, regardless of the size. This is especially true for women who have thoughtful, creative, and loving husbands like you. Number 3, could this cause problems with my wife's female anatomy? I don't see that happening, but again, checking in with her from time to time is always a real good thing. If a problem does develop, she will know. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly.
Well, I've come. I'm here. What was it you wanted?
How about sitting down and listening to all these fascinating questions? Next, we hear from Abigail, and again, we don't know her age or where she lives. She writes, I don't have much money to buy sex toys. Is there a way I can use household items? I only use my fingers, which are great, but I want to learn how to make my vagina squirt. I am new at masturbating, and I would appreciate the help. Thank you very much. Have you looked in the fresh fruit and vegetable department of your local grocery, Abigail? There are loads of phallic-shaped things there, bananas, zucchinis, cucumbers, etc. One word of caution, make sure that whatever you're using is long enough that you can hold on to it while you're working your magic. You definitely don't want to let whatever it is that you're using slip in and lodge itself inside of your vagina. Good luck. Next up is Kevin, and we don't know any more about him either. He writes, can you get a girl pregnant if you come on the outside of her pussy, or if you pull her pussy lips apart and come there, but with your dick out of her? It's not overly likely, Kevin, but it's not unheard of either. Listen, your sperm is pretty mobile. They are built to swim, you know. So even if you get a teensy-tiny droplet of your spooge, which contains zillions of sperm, gets sucked up into your chick's vagina, conception could occur. Stranger things have happened, don't you know? This is especially true if her pussy lips are pulled apart for obvious reasons. Right? Good luck. Now here's Jennifer. My boyfriend and I have a fabulous sex life and have sex 5 to 6 times in a 24-hour period. Holy cow. Sometimes we get very enthusiastic about it. He's quite large and goes in very deep on my insistence. My problem is that I've got my period 2 weeks after the last time, and I've been regular 26, 28 days between cycles. Could this sex have brought on my period early, or is injury more likely? I'm 40 and have a family history of premature menopause. Listen, your guess is as good as mine about that, Jennifer. You know I'm a PhD kind of doctor and not a medical doctor, an MD kind of doctor, right? Good. But even if I were an MD kind of doctor, I wouldn't attempt to offer you medical advice without seeing you in person. No self-respecting doctor would. Why not have a physician take a look at you? It's possible you could have injured yourself, or could be premature menopause, as you suggest, but idle speculation on your part is not going to resolve this. You don't want to be fooling around with your sexual health, do you? Good luck. Next is Craig, 19, writes from the USA. I'm a gay male, and I want a bottom, but I'm afraid that I will have a bowel movement, or that my boyfriend will pull out some junk on his cock. What are some things I can do to avoid this? A clean asshole is a fuckable asshole. Hygiene is essential. Soap and water is preferred method for keeping the outside of your ass clean. And while you're scrubbing your crack, you could use your fingertip to clean out your rosebud, but don't force soap beyond your sphincter. You have delicate membranes in your rectum, and that could get irritated with soap, even mild soap. Bottoms also need to anally douche before the fuck fest. And for this, I suggest a solution of warm water mixed with a few drops of lemon juice and or vinegar. Some guys prefer the convenience of a shower bidet. Just know that even the most scrupulous bottom sometimes experience an accident. It's no big thing, and so you should not get your undies in a twist over it. Good luck. And finally, here's Patrick, who is 29 and writes from Ontario, Canada. I recently sent as an anonymous question, but I am not quite sure if the post was sent correctly. Please disregard it if it was sent. A friend turned me onto your site and podcast, and I find them awesome. So keep up the good work. I love your frankness. My question, I have a relatively long foreskin, and I want to know if there are any natural methods or techniques to reduce the appearance of that foreskin without having to resort to a medical procedure. I'm aware that you are a proponent of remaining uncircumcised, but can this be done so as not to disturb the natural function of the foreskin? Thanks for your kind words about my site and podcast, Patrick. It's comments like yours that make this whole effort worthwhile. You're right. I am a huge proponent of genital integrity. And I know loads of circumcised men who would give their right nut to have the perceived problem that you have. Is your foreskin really that cumbersome? Is this a health issue or simply a cosmetic concern? Either way, if you honestly can't abide the abundance that nature has supplied you, you could retract your foreskin over your dickhead and secure it there with a piece of string tied in a bow or a little rubber band. Just make sure that you don't tie the string too tightly or have the rubber band too secure. I suspect that doing this repeatedly day after day will train your lace curtains to stay in place. I also assume that you will tire of doing this for as long as it would take to accomplish this desired effect. And that's a real good thing, because learning to love what we have takes a whole lot less effort than trying to alter what is much better left just as it is. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next time for the resumption of the Erotic Mind podcast series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the banner that reads Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. So remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.